Hi, I'm Paul Holmgren.
Hey, I'm Travis Konecny.
Hi, I'm Chuck Fletcher.
Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick.
Hi, this is Travis Sanheim.
Hi, I'm Joel Farabee.
Hi, this is Derek Brassard.
Hey, I'm Scott Lawton.
Hi, this is Bob Clark.
And you're listening to
Snow the Goalie.
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 Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Snow the Goalie, the only Flyers podcast. We're going to get right to it. We're on a time crunch. Everything's going nuts. You can see Bundy's in the car, and he's here. I've been writing about the Super Bowl, even though it's a week and a half away. We're all over the place, and the Flyers aren't playing, but we are here. There are a few things we need to get into today. And as you can see on the screen, here we are this week. You can find us all on Twitter if you haven't already found us by now. Bundy's over on Twitter at CTarian6. Anthony's at AntSanPhilly. I'm on Twitter at JoyOnBroad. Guys, I want to jump into a thing that's kind of popped up this week. And it's the fact that this league that we cover, this league that we care about, has made this odd decision to have their All-Star weekend, the weekend before the Super Bowl. They have not had a game since Wednesday. The All-Star game takes place on Saturday. There will be no hockey on Sunday. I view it as a missed opportunity, and all of this is with the backdrop that the word came out that the TV ratings for the NHL have dropped nearly a quarter from last year. And so I feel like today is like a good time for us to kind of do a state of the game. So, Anthony, I want to throw this to you first.
Oh.
No, then never mind.
No, it's fine. No,
you want to sign? No, you want to sign? No, screw it. You want to sign? Then I'm going to throw it to Bundy. Bundy will be excited. All right. Bundy, how do you view this dip? Because you're constantly back and forth between the U.S. and Canada. Can you give some perspective? Give the international perspective here. Like, is this just a matter of American sports fan has kind of fallen off? Or does this go to Canada as well? Like, what are the feelings from people that you talk to? Friends, family, people you know in the league? Like, what the hell's going on? That's a big drop.
Well, there's people, you know, I think like there's guys like myself or your kids, if you played the game, I think there's an interest in it. But, you know, one thing I do hear, guys, is guys my age, Anthony's age, like I'm around 50. I think everybody knows that by now. But I hear a lot of guys my age say, you know what, dude, I don't watch that anymore. Like, to me, I find it an unwatchable quantity. And they say it all the time. It's not like one, two, or three guys. It's a multitude of people. So they've lost a fan demographic, if you will. I don't know what the reasoning is. I think I sense a lot of it is the change to the game, the less physicality, the less fighting, the altercations, the ultra male. I think that kind of shined through for a long time. And I think in a lot of ways that era of guys is like, I'm not watching anymore. Like, you hear guys say, I'll turn on figure skating. It's the same thing. I don't think that. I think the game has changed and it's evolved. But there's a lot more teams. There's a lot more bad players, a lot more bad teams, whether you want to say it or not. That's the truth. It's a fact. I mean, you got guys now in like the American League that were playing the NHL 2 years ago. When you got 30, 32 teams, whatever it is in the league, and you have an expansion team like Seattle that's top of a conference, it makes you certain, like Vegas too, getting those guys, kind of makes you wonder what we're dealing with to begin with. Like, how exactly is it possible for an expansion franchise to go lottery picking of all the guys nobody wanted or decided we were going to move on from, and they end up for a period of time in the first place in the Western Conference? This is a bizarre thing, guys, but, you know, again, it's how the game's played, the speed of the game, like in terms of the way that it's shown, it's brought out, and I'll be honest with you, I think the way that the game is actually portrayed to people that fill a demographic. There's a lot of moving parts in the sport. Production teams, there's a lot of things I think in hockey, guys, that people just don't want to see when they turn on the game anymore from the era of times that they used to. There's different people carrying the game, play-by-play, the analysts. I think there's a whole lot of myriad of things. When I go on Twitter or I read or I just listen to the fans' dissertation of what they think has gone on with hockey, I think it's a myriad of things that's brought the number down 20-some, almost 25% in a year. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And I'm definitely interested in hearing what Anthony's got to say. But, you know, for me to sit here and say, no, it's all roses, guys love it, the game's better than it ever was, I can't tell you that that's what I hear, because it's not. Some people like it, but there's a lot of guys I find is that they're missing a demographic, and that's where they're missing it somehow.
And?
Well, I don't disagree with Bundy with the product, right? I kind of agree that the product is not as good as it once was. And that's not just me being old man at cloud, you know, yelling at the cloud. It's legitimately a thing that the sport has evolved into something that is more akin to what used to be, what we used to just say was European style hockey back in the day, and not North American style. You don't hear those delineations anymore because the two games are kind of the same, right? I mean, I think that they're very similar. Where I will depart from what Bundy was saying, and probably what you were going to say too, Russ, because I know you want to kill the league for this, is I can give you rational reasons as to why the numbers have dropped that have nothing to do with hockey and more to do with television and the networks that are handling them. And I'll tell you, first and foremost, ESPN started off using the NHL as counter-programming to Sunday Night Football. What the hell were they thinking? What the hell was ESPN thinking? Of course you're not going to get ratings and people watching hockey on your network if you're going up against Sunday Night Football. That's a terrible, terrible idea. You want to do it after football season's over? Okay, fine. But you cannot go head-to-head with the behemoth that is the NFL. I killed them. So if you take away the Sunday night games that they used, right, and just use the rest of the ESPN games, from what I see, their average has actually gone up from last season as far as viewers, as opposed to going down. So I think that the Sunday night thing killed ESPN. As far as TNT is concerned, TNT's got an issue with regional blackouts. Yep. And so when they're putting the best team in hockey on all the time, Boston is constantly a TNT game, right? Well, there's a regional blackout in Boston, and usually Nesson draws like 660,000 viewers for Bruins games. Well, there's 660,000 people who are not watching it on TNT. So their numbers are now coming down. So I
think you have the number there of what TNT's been averaging?
I don't think I do. Okay. Let me see. Yes, I do. They're averaging 359,000 viewers over 36 games, which is down 16% compared to the 20 that games that aired in the same period last year.
That can't be right.
But they had seven of those 16 games were affected by regional blackouts. So that's part of the problem is more the television networks are screwing this up than it is the NHL. But I do agree with Bundy that the game has changed enough that I think hockey was a sport that it was a niche sport to begin with. And so that maybe your more casual fan that's a little bit older has probably drifted away from it because it's not the same game that they grew up watching.
So I need to.
Yeah, I hear a lot of that.
I interrupted you saying there's no way that number was right. The reason that I'm so shocked by it, and here, let me wave that that pro wrestling fan thing. The TNT Turner got into the NHL and picked Wednesday night, which moved AEW from TNT to TBS. The reason I bring it up is because when AEW Dynamite, their flagship show, was on Wednesday nights, this is a very well-known thing in the pro wrestling world, the ratings were anywhere from 850,000 to about 1.2 million viewers per week. And I can tell you that after like looking at this every week, because I care about that for whatever reason, because I'm messed up in the head, pro wrestling on TBS now has maintained that number. I think it's actually gone up a little bit from time to time. But like the idea that because of regional blackouts, they're getting a third or in some cases a quarter of the viewers that they were getting from pro wrestling before is insane to me. It's crazy. And before people kind of like lose their minds about, well, what happens? Are we factoring in like Hulu Live plus sports? Or are we factoring in YouTube TV? Those are factored in those Nielsen ratings. So those are not like dropped. Those aren't people who just like don't exist, which tends to be one of those conversations. Again, this is like ratings are like a big wrestling thing right now. But like that's one of the talking points, especially from early on, is like, well, what about all the people who are cutting the cord? And I don't know, guys, I feel like so much of this is the Turner networks aren't as available as, you know, like the NBC over the air channel was. Granted, that was only once a week, right? But like there's an inherent dip there. The ESPN thing has been a major issue. And it's actually kind of fitting that Bundy's video just went out. We've got like the spinning circle there for a second, because that's what happens when you watch, and you're back, Bundy, don't worry. But like that actually was beautifully timed, because that's what happens when you try to watch these games on ESPN Plus or on Hulu. And how many times do we see, you know, if the Flyers are playing or whomever's playing, if you look at Twitter and you look for NHL on a Wednesday night, whether it's Turner or when you try to find it on the national game that ESPN is showing, that's one of the biggest complaints, especially on the streaming side of things, is that the infrastructure doesn't look like it was in place to be successful. It's crazy because ESPN has put so much into the live sports infrastructure between all of the international soccer leagues they have, college basketball, college football. You would think that like the system would be able to handle it. So if you're a casual fan, you've now been told this year you have to have ESPN Plus in some cases to see your team, to see the Flyers play. And then you do shell out the money, or you share a password with somebody who you know, has the money. And you're treated to a poor product, to a poor performing product. And I have to say, as like the guy who was beating the drum about what a big deal it was to get ESPN and to get Turner, you know, on board, this has been a disaster. An absolute unmitigated disaster for the league.
Well, who's been the commissioner for the last 30 years?
Maybe Gary Bettman.
It's actually 28 years, Anthony, because he's cost 2 years of hockey with lockouts. Anyone that's else true. Have that on their resume? Let's talk about, like, no, that's like the pink elephant in this guy's resume nobody wants to talk about. You've actually erased 2 full years of hockey on your watch. What a despicable thing to do. I mean, and they expect fans to run back to it.
And it's amazing. It's amazing to think, Bundy, that he's probably had the most influence, good or bad, and a lot of times bad, on the sport of hockey than anyone else in the history of the game.
Well, every rule's changed under his rule. I mean, it's seriously, right? He's made it for everybody. I mean, again, now, like, you're not saying everybody, but you can play. He's turned it into a European-style hockey, and that's the part. Even the other coaches, like legendary coaches, I can tell you, part of the game before was getting a mental edge over another guy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. It's just skill against skill, and whoever has the most skill wins. That's why I used to love the NHL, because there were guys that you could have play that just had enough desire and determination, and that one thing, the intangible, nobody could ever quantify, that gave that guy a career and made him an effective member of a team. And that doesn't exist anymore. It's just it's a go-through-the-motion league. It's a go-through-the-motion practice. And I've watched it happen in real time for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. It's
guys, I sat down by the bench and broadcast all of it, guys. I've watched it unfold in front of my eyes.
It's honestly sad. I'm going to make Anthony really upset. My best friend has said to me for the last 2 or 3 years that there is a chance that within a decade and a half, that you're going to see across the country MLS get close to, if not past, the NHL. And based on their year-over-year growth, there is a case to be made that is entirely on the table, that within the next, say, 2 decades, the domestic soccer league, that was an absolute joke, is going to pass this league. And I can tell you that, and this comes back to something we've talked about for years, Ant, the cost of going down to Chester to go see the Union, who, by the way, just made a championship appearance, to go see a game, get really good tickets, pay for your family to go down, do tailgating, get food, is still probably half the price, maybe even less than that, as it is to go to a Flyers game. And when you extrapolate those numbers over, you know, the entirety of a league, like I can't believe that it could trend that way, but it feels like it's totally, unless you make a change of commissioner. But like the ultimate thing here that drives me nuts is like there is no other professional sports league in this country that would have allowed one of their teams to be in a situation where they have to play in front of what, 5,000 people in a college arena. That's
yeah,
got to this.
And Sherry Ogle, Sherry Ogle with the call.
Yeah, a well, Mickey wait, Mouse well, league move.
I agree with you, but it did happen. Let's not forget that the Toronto Blue Jays, because of the pandemic, were not allowed to play at home, and so they had to play in a minor league ballpark for.
That was different.
Yeah, well, you could blame the Canadian government for that. That's not the team's fault. I mean, that's the guy going, "Holy Jesus, yeah, everyone's gonna let's get him out of here." No, that was nothing to do with the team. That was the Canadian government that, quite frankly, made life miserable for every single individual in the country that had to go back and forth through the border if you were a sports team. So that was just a Canadian thing, like the with that, because I had to go up there. You had to really, really show your proof of vaccine. And if guys weren't, that's why they got Toronto out of there, because guys couldn't go in and play. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's just, but anyway.
It is crazy. But
I know Russ, I know you wanted to kind of just kind of go on that, but I know Bundy's got to run. And there was something Bundy absolutely wanted to bring up that also took place in hockey today. And I wanted to at least give him an opportunity that if he needs to run and we want to go back and
kind of
what you're saying, then we can. But go ahead, Bundy. What took place today in Ottawa?
Well, my hometown team, you know, obviously I'm born in Ottawa, and I don't really know if Ottawa should even have a team, but I'm sure I'm going to get some kickback for that right now. But they've had a team since the early 90s, and, you know, when the team's good, they show up, and when they're not, they get like 4,000 people at every game. But they have a bunch of kids there that they think are pretty good. And what happened was today, they fired their assistant coach in Belleville. The head coach in Belleville, who had really done a good job getting guys ready for the NHL, was considered up and coming. That other guys in that were like Luke Richardson, that was in Ottawa too. Pierre Dorion's been there for years now, and it's very much looked like a Mickey Mouse type of show the way that they've run it. But they actually fired the head coach in Belleville, whose brother is an assistant general manager for the Senators, for sharing the Ottawa Senators pre-scout with another team. So, I mean, that's, you know, I guess somebody was pissed off at somebody there in Ottawa, but I got to keep an eye on that. I mean, they really did think in Ottawa this year that getting like Giroux and, you know, the other guy, DeBrincat, were just, you know, going to get them a parade. I don't even know where they'd have a parade in Ottawa, but they'd have a parade of some kind in Ottawa with those additions. And now they've apparently got rid of the guy who they think was really responsible for bringing guys along. Just a little bit kind of crazy. I read that story before we got on. I'm like, that's the craziest and funniest thing I've seen, where an assistant coach got so pissed off at upper management with the big team. He's like, you know what? I think I'm just going to share this info tonight with the Leafs. So that's your National Enquirer theme of the week from the hockey world, boys.
Absolutely insane. Totally.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Man.
And only this league can that stuff happen, right? I mean, it's just, you think that you've seen everything, and then something else happens. You're like, okay, well, classic with the NHL. So
absolutely.
All-star games this weekend. We wish Kevin Hayes the very best of luck and have a great time. I don't know what, actually they have a bunch of events and stuff, some stuff on the beach, Russ.
Bunny, I'm so nice to see you. I have no idea.
Well, Gritty had a banana.
I haven't paid a lick.
Gritty had a banana hat yesterday. Gritty had his hammock on yesterday, and
was it
he
nice
was on the
boot. Was it?
Yeah, look, he looked good. He looked pretty good and healthy and everything, and he looked like he was having a good time. Him and Bernie Perrant were down there. Gritty and Bernie were down in Fort Lauderdale, and looked like they were catching some rays on the beach.
Was Bernie in a banana hammock or no?
Bernie did not have a banana hammock on. No, he did not.
Just had the check.
Just gritty.
Yeah.
That's short and sweet, boys. That's perfect.
You know what? And I think if nothing else, we can go into this weekend knowing that we got together, we were able to get our schedule synced up, even if it's a short show. I'm having such a hard time in like the support of the league to like sit back and just say, like, you had an opportunity in a sport that like desperately needs viewers to like schedule a full slate of games this week and to really give it your best effort, and instead we're supposed to care about an All-Star game that we don't care about on Saturday, and games aren't resuming till Monday. Like, what an ultimate missed opportunity, but whatever. I mean, that's what, let me ask you guys this. let me throw this to you real quick. If they were going to play the game on Saturday, would you have considered putting the NHL All-Star game on Friday or Saturday of Super Bowl week? The way that, like, here's another wrestling thing, the way that some other territories and like independent wrestling companies will run pay-per-views or will run events the weekend of WrestleMania, for example. You try to kind of glom on to the excitement of people looking for a sport. Like, should the NHL have considered or consider in the future trying to run their All-Star game or, you know, the weekend or the week of the Super Bowl in the hopes that maybe they'll catch some people looking for something?
They should just they should consider putting the All-Star game out the pasture is what they should consider.
I totally agree, dude. I think get rid of it. And it'll be it, honestly, God, so if some guy said, look, I'm not an All-Star, all right, so everyone get their folks in on me, but I wasn't. But if someone made me an All-Star, it would be just the same if they said, congratulations, you're an All-Star, than actually having to pick up and go down somewhere for the week. I'd be like, great, I'm an All-Star, but I don't have to do anything. Even better.
Even better.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I do too, Anthony, Russ, or Anthony, I'm with you on that. I even like Torts, when I heard him this year, like he kind of like talked about it like it was like an afterthought event. Like it was like less than the Quebec Pee-wee tournament. Like seriously. Like that's exactly what, you know, and I think it's getting to that. Like there used to be something where I don't know. There was something about it at one time. I mean, believe me, the NFL is the same way, guys. They're running that thing too, right?
At one time, the thing of it is, Bunny, at one time, All-Star games were really the only opportunity for people to see the best players from the other teams, because you didn't have these national TV contracts where these teams were on all the time. You didn't have the internet where people were able to look stuff up and watch video.
Yeah.
Now that ever since we have had the ability to all access everything, All-Star games are pointless. They're completely pointless now. So that's why I say get rid of all of them. I agree.
All right, before we head out here, Anthony's favorite part of the show, the five-star reviews. Josh Flyers left a five-star, said the best Flyers podcast. Always upfront and honest, no sugarcoating, knowledgeable, and as well as a great mix of personalities. As a fan who struggles to understand this dumpster fire year after year, thank you for making it bearable. You guys are awesome. So thanks, Josh Flyers. Sussex Mike checks in with a five-star, says great podcast. Longtime Flyers fan. Remember going to games and seeing Bundy play. Always enjoy listening to your podcast. Love the discussions. Can't wait to hear more.
That means Sussex Mike is pulling our demographic way the hell up, then, if he remembers seeing Bundy play.
Wow.
Didn't hear him say he still watches. He just said he remembered me playing. He didn't say watch now.
Bring Bundy back for the ratings. He is our one true all-star. And that last one here is from Drinny51, Best Flyers Podcast. I look forward to your podcast every week. Hands down, the best Flyers podcast out there. The player knowledge that Bundy adds is fantastic and can sympathize the meltdown he usually has at some point because of the front office. You guys are realistic, which a lot of people can't handle because they think everything is okay with this team when it isn't. It makes me physically sick and angry hearing the truth you guys dish out, but it's our sad reality. This team means a lot to my family and I hope that we can turn this around soon so I can enjoy a winning team with my kid. Thanks for keeping it real, guys, and keep doing what you're doing. Go Flyers. P.S. Bundy, I encourage the profanity. It helps us to heal from this disaster of
I know. I'm a dad, so I don't like what I do. But I mean, listen, I was a guy in the locker room. I mean, that F-bomb flew around the locker room like it was a football playing around in a pregame, catch, you know. So, I'm trying to be better. And I don't like to use it. I don't want to use the F-word like it's the word the. And that one show I did, but fuck, was I pissed off.
I can tell everybody this and I don't think you'll be upset. Whenever I have a phone conversation with Bundy, not on this show, but just we're talking on the phone, I mean, it's like I have to make sure there's no one around because I know I'm getting 57 F-bombs at some over the course of that. There's an over-under, and we're over every time. So the fact that you only drop one or two shows your professionalism.
You know, I used to have Tim Saunders and the TV people, and I think they used to wonder themselves, like, is this guy ever going to slip up? And I used to tell them, it will never happen, ever. And it never did. Yeah. So I could cut it off when you have to and use it. You don't see it when you want. It's the delivery of that word. It's a delivery.
That's right.
That's right.
I agree. Only won this week. But anyway, kids listen, and as a dad, I understand that. So, all right, Russ, great stuff, guys. That was short and sweet.
Love it.
And but beautiful.
All right.
Short and sweet, just like me. Let's wrap up the show, guys. don't forget, you can, of course, find this show, Snow the Goalie, the Only Flyers podcast. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. By the way, we're also on Pandora now, so you can go there. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/SnowTheGoalie. Find us on Twitter and Instagram, @SnowTheGoalie, @AntSanPhilly, @JoyOnBroad, @CTerrion6. Biggest thing, and then remember, I mean, if you're watching this, you know where to find it. If you're listening, you can find all the video. You can find the full episode on video on the Crossing Broad YouTube channel. So that's pretty much it, guys, as I, make a graphic error there at the end. But big thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tell two people in your life about Snow the Goalie. And we will be back next week with a new episode. And next week, guys, I want to dive into something that I just totally made a mess of on Twitter this week, which is the idea of to tank or not to tank. Apparently, the draft lottery is very complicated for some people. So I want to dive into that next week. So everybody can get their pitchforks and their flames ready. We'll get into that next week. And then we'll react to what I'm sure is going to be a very exciting NHL All-Star weekend. So, or Ann, or Bundy, I'm Russ. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.